What time is it? Time for the weekly dip. I want fries on my pizza, the rabbit in a tortilla, barbecue from Korea. Damn, that's a good idea. Yuck, my yum. Yuck, yuck, my yum. Yuck, my yum. Yuck, yuck, my yum.
Welcome back to the Weekly Dish. I'm here with Stephanie March.
That's
Stephanie
me.
Hansen. Stephanie March is the food editor of Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine and digital
executive editor.
I was
going to
say, like, you got a new title.
I did.
We have Gail on the line live. Gail's got a question for us, I think, about artichokes. Hi, Gail.
Hi, you guys. I listened to you guys for Saturday. I'm a loser at artichoke cooking.
Oh.
I'm a loser. And I'm trying to do it right, literally right now.
Sure.
And I'm not doing a good job.
All okay, right. What are you doing
what
and
you
what
want,
are you trying to do?
What do you want to have done?
Cook them.
Just so you can,
it's usually a good bet.
Yeah.
No, but I stuck them in boiling water for two of them. And then the other one I put in the oven thinking I could be like a gourmet cook. You know, from the Food Network or something. And I don't know what it.
Okay.
And that core with the hair in it.
Do
and
you,
all
are
that,
you looking to take the leaves to do like the dipping and the eating of the leaves?
I was told to take the outer ones out first. Did I eat them? Not really.
Well, they're not.
There wasn't much. Maybe I got crappy ones up here. I live up north, so it's. Maybe there isn't much going on here.
So you're cooking?
They were huge, though. I thought, okay, cool. So how far do you have to go into, quote, the core?
Okay, so here's, I'm going to break something down here. There's two things about artichokes. One, they have these really crazy, scaly outside leaves that when you pull them from the fruit, the flower bud, whatever, you pull it off the plant, there's a little teeny tiny bit of meat at the base, and you can just dip them in a little sauce and scrape them with your teeth. If you only want, then there's the other part, which is the artichoke heart. Which is underneath all that stuff that you can easily get to and then cook and eat that separately as a whole other thing. Are you trying to do one or both of those things?
No, I was like cooking three of them because I was just trying my style.
Okay.
So,
gotcha.
Which is not good.
Okay, here's
like,
your.
Okay, so you cut that hairy part out, right? That's when you're not supposed to eat.
Okay.
People die or something?
We got to back up here because we're still so confused. Are you using these in a dish? Are you using them just to eat them?
Just to eat them.
Okay. Start over. Here's what you would do. You take your full artichoke with all the spiny things on it. You cut the bottom off so it sits flat in your pan.
Yep.
You're going to add about 3 inches of water.
I did.
Okay.
I did do that. Okay.
You're going to boil this for about, it's actually steaming.
It's steaming. Do you cover, are you saying?
It was like 25 minutes I put them in.
No, you're going to do it for longer and you're going to have a lid on the top.
I cooked them till they were going to die. So
yeah.
Okay.
You're going to put the lid on top of the pan. Do you have an Instant Pot too?
I did. Yes, I did.
Okay. Do you have an Instant Pot?
No.
Okay, because they can get cooked in the Instant Pot.
You can microwave them for 12 minutes.
Yeah. You can do that,
you
too.
You can put them in a microwave.
Oh, 12 minutes?
Yeah, you can put it in
totally over-killed these things.
Minutes or 2 inches of water in a sealed container with the artichoke, a couple holes poked through, 12 minutes in your microwave.
That's where I put those little children in there. Sorry.
And eat the leaves, then.
Yeah, and then you pull the leaves out, dip them in garlic aioli. You're good.
I did. And I make tofu aioli because I'm kind of that weird person.
Oh, but Gail, we know really that's good. Right. All right, thank you for calling.
Good luck.
We appreciate your artichoke questions.
Good luck.
It is kind of confusing about the hair and the prickly.
Well, and the middle part is the artichoke heart, and that's like a thing that you got to get to, and definitely don't. It's the fuzzy parts, but like there's a lot of good, Gail, there's a lot of good demos on YouTube as well.
Yeah. And tofu aioli sounds interesting.
Sounds delicious. All right.
All right. Top two.
Give him the 0-1-2. 1-2-1-2.
And now the weekly dish presents.
Top two. Top two.
The top two.
Pick your best two.
In our two.
All right. Give me two. With him.
Okay. I'm going to start out this week because I'm very excited about something.
Okay.
There is a Minnesota maker that makes a non-alcoholic wine that I really liked. It is called Dry Wit.
Yeah.
And the name of the wine that I liked was called Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
It is a rosé.
Mm-hmm.
And it has no alcohol in it.
Yeah.
And it paired really beautifully with some food that I was eating. And it was one of the first non-alcoholic wines that I've had that didn't just taste like fruit juice. And really kind of had more of a vegetal feeling like wine would have. And that kind of tart, acidic on your back of your throat.
Yeah.
You can get it at Marigold. Mm-hmm. And I think they have it at liquor stores, too. It is called Dry Wit, and the brand, the flavor was Bruce, which was the rosé.
Yeah, and
I really liked it.
They have a couple others. They have like the Salinger and the Pippi.
I had the Salinger, and it was all right.
Yeah.
It didn't hit me in the same way that the Bruce did. The Salinger is the white.
Okay. Yeah, the Dry Wit is made from, it's by Peter. It's the former
Marvel Bar guy.
Yeah. Schweigert. Really, I love that brand. I have two bottles in my fridge right now.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's good stuff. All right. My first one is going to be the egg sandwich that I had this week at Toma Moho Grill.
It looked so good.
Oh, my God, you guys. I know I wrote a blog about it. I don't know if I put it onto our show page or not. But listen, this sandwich is what I loved about it was it added more than just like the brick of souffle egg that we are seeing all over the place. I'm not mad at the brick of souffle egg. I like it. But in this case, it was like a fried egg, a sausage patty, crisp bacon, provolone cheese. And then they put potato chips on it. And I was like, why have I not been putting potato chips on my egg sandwiches?
Did you weigh in on the whole $15 versus $18 egg sandwich crisis? That was going on Twitter.
I didn't because I haven't eaten it yet.
Okay.
So I haven't done it. I mentioned it in the blog. I did say that I understand that people have feelings about it. And if you have, you know, if you have crab or steak on an egg sandwich, yeah, I understand that. I don't know if the one that just has ham and egg and cheese is, I don't know because I haven't eaten it. Is it worth $14? I don't know. I can't say.
So
what if it is?
Yeah, I'm curious about what you'll end up thinking about that.
Yeah.
Because I think I would spend $18 on an egg sandwich if I thought it was delicious.
If it was a really great egg sandwich, then yes. But
like you spend that on an egg salad sandwich.
But I'm going to tell you, I don't because I don't like egg salad. But the egg sandwich at Toma Maha Grill is like $8.
They have great chicken there,
their
too.
Their chicken there is outstanding. So
okay, I'm going to give you another non-alcoholic aperitif that I had that I just was like, wow, this is so great. This one is called Everleaf. It is mountain strawberry, cherry blossom, and rose hip.
Oh, nice.
It was like a little refreshing syrup, but it wasn't like super sweet.
I was going to say syrup makes me go,
No, it was so unexpected and so delicious. And all I could think of, too, was like, well, we could put some gin in this. But you don't have to because it was really tasty. I was with four people and we took a sip and we all kind of looked at each other and went, whoa.
Yeah.
So that one is called, that's also from Marigold, coincidentally. That is the non-alcoholic store in South Minneapolis. It is Everleaf Mountain Strawberry Cherry Blossom and Rose Hip Aperitif.
Marvelous. Okay, my last one is going to be the fact that I found my next favorite black and white cookie source, because it used to be a Piece of Cake bakery in St. Paul.
And they closed. I'm so sad.
And I literally was thinking, well, there's it. I can't get those black and white cookies anymore. They're at Crossroads Deli. I don't know why I didn't think that. Of course they're at Crossroads Deli. And they have two versions. They have their own version and they have like the New York Deli version, which is great.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I could only get one. And I threw it right home in my face. And so it just was delicious, and I was very happy to find them, and I can't believe I forgot that they had them there.
Okay, so black and white cookies at Crossroads Deli.
There we go.
Do you want a bonus?
Okay, bonus quick, though, because we're out of time.
Okay, smoothie. You know how they have the sunflower oil?
Yeah.
In the grocer section, they now have a fiery pepper sunflower oil.
Check that out.
That had chili crisp feelings in their sunflower oil.
Okay.
So, smoothie oil, check that out.
Okay, I love it.
All right, we're going to come back and talk about some chives.
Summer training is now in session at the YMCA with free fitness assessments from certified personal trainers who focus on real strength and real goals for a more realistic summer. Like the endurance it takes to put sunscreen on a squirming child.
No! Okay, stop running. I have to get your ears.
Stop!
Don't go in the sand! No! Come on.
Learn more at ymcanorth.org.
Now we have to start all over.
Well, friends, it is harvest season for chives.
Yeah!
I don't know if you are looking, but if you are in a south-facing sunny side, you probably have a chives, but also the little buds with the pink maybe starting to come out. Do you have any pink buds yet?
Not yet. I haven't seen anything.
I have flowers, but they haven't opened yet, and I'm in sort of a cold, dark side.
Yeah.
The beauty of chives is they really will grow anywhere. And I love the taste of chives. You talked about ramps having that allium. A chive is from the same family.
Mm-hmm.
What I like to do when the flowers come out is you can eat the flowers, and they look really pretty, like pressed into focaccia. They're also pretty on a salad, on an egg. You can like sprinkle them on a butter board or like crostinis. But also you can put those flowers in vinegar and a vinegar brine and make like a chive blossom vinegar that then you use in salad dressings or for... I mostly use it in salad dressings. I sometimes use it for acid in a pasta. It just has this kind of light oniony flavor.
Okay.
So the way that you do that is you just get your jar and you put your blossoms in the jar and then you fill it with a little bit of vinegar, white vinegar, and you keep it kind of in a dark place until it's the strength that you want. And then you strain out your flowers and then just put it in the refrigerator. Did you know you can dry chives?
Yeah, sure.
So you could just lay them out. And although people like, do you ever buy dried chives in the store?
No.
They're the dustiest, weirdest thing.
Yeah, I'm not, I was just going to say, like, I don't have any desire to dry chives or have dried chives.
You can freeze them too. So you can just cut them and freeze them, or you can put them in like ice cube trays with olive oil. You can put them in paper towel and freeze them that way and then just like break off pieces.
Can I just say one thing about chives quickly?
Yeah.
Is that when you're getting them at the store, oftentimes they are already kind of slimy.
And dusty.
And I never get dusty. I get chives from certain grocery stores that come in the little square containers that are like... Like they're already already almost rotten. And then they get that really gross, wet clumpiness. Yep. But I'm going to tell you this, the ones at Trader Joe's have been the best ones for me.
Okay.
So if you're looking for like some chives from, you know, a grocery store and you need them fast, like the ones at Trader Joe's have always been, they last longest.
Also, here's how you store chives.
Okay.
You just store them in a cup of water, not full to the top, just like an inch of water. So just the bottom of the chive is in contact with the water, not the whole leaf.
Mm-hmm.
But they will keep growing. Just
but are you saying like is there a bottom on there, or is there just like, is it just all green leaf?
There's no bottom. You just green leaf. Okay. You just cut the bottom off and stick it in a little bit of water.
Stick the leaf? Not
the leaf.
Okay.
The chive.
Yeah.
Yep. And right. That will, your chives will stay longer.
Oh, got it.
Okay. Then when we talk about eating chives, we've talked about chive butter.
Yeah.
So this is just, you have some room temperature butter. You cut up a bunch of chives. You can use the purple parts too. It makes it pretty, or just the green parts. Stir it in your butter. Then put it in a piece of parchment paper or wax paper and kind of lay out a clump. And then you sort of are forming it as you're rolling to kind of get it into a log shape. And then put it in the... freezer, and then you have a log of chive butter.
True.
And that's great on potatoes. It's good in rice. You can use a spread for grilled cheese. baked potatoes, buttered noodles, breadsticks, crackers, scrambled eggs. I could just keep going.
Is this just a yes, menu of what you feel like eating right now?
Pretty much. Okay. Now, I make drop biscuits for strawberry shortcakes.
Yes.
And they're great because they're super easy and shaggy and it has all the puddles for all the strawberry juices. But a sour cream and chive shaggy biscuit, drop biscuit, is also really delicious.
Oh, not with strawberry shortcake.
No.
I was like, come on now.
Not with strawberries.
Let's not talk about that.
But super easy to do. You just stir in your chives with some sour cream, or you can even use goat cheese clumps, into your shaggy dough, plop it by a spoonful onto a pan. And who doesn't love someone showing up with fresh...
True. You know, could win Memorial Day with a shaggy. Cream. I love this whole shaggy biscuit business.
Chive biscuit. Because then there's like butter nubs.
Yeah.
Because you've got, you know, the shaggy butter in there.
Seriously, and then, if you show up at Memorial Day with some biscuits and put that on the potluck table, like that's a win. That's a flipping win.
Okay. We also, chives are amazing in mayonnaise.
Okay.
So you're going to make like a chivey mayonnaise to what? Potato salad or rubbing on any of the various things that you rub chives on.
Are we rubbing chives now?
We're going to rub some chives.
We're going to rub some chives on.
Chive cornbread.
Okay.
Okay, so you're not just going to make standard cornbread. You're not just going to make cheesy cornbread. You are going to make chivey, cheesy cornbread.
Chivies and cheesies.
It's going to be super delicious.
I'm going to tell you that the chive action in my house is full and big and it's frequent. It goes into tuna salad. Like, if there's tuna salad and then you hit it with chives, next level. Every ramen bowl has to have chives on top.
And chives last so good. Into the fall.
Yeah.
Like, they get a little tired and they get a little dry, but they still taste.
No, the minute that the chive plant comes up, it is literally like, thank God. Thank God I don't have to buy them from the store anymore. And
it is just a gift
the first
when
thing
you
that,
see them.
Yes. Giant the baby, the first thing he said was like, oh, I got to get some chives to plant out here because he needs them. He's going to like be in this house and needs to cook for himself.
And even if you have a pot of chives in your house growing, which many people do, they're not the same.
They're not driveway chives are the best chives ever.
Driveway chives or the kind of chives that are next to the rhubarb that are hiding the meter plant.
Right.
Or the meter reader.
The meter reader. The gas meter. Yeah.
Okay. Chive spread. Have you had chive spread?
I don't know.
So this is like cream cheese.
Oh.
A little sour cream or milk or
bagels,
just a little.
Cheese, chives.
Yep. And plop that down there.
There should be chive bay. Instead of salt bay, there should be chive bay. Because like you chop up your chives and just like,
boom, chives.
Chives.
Okay. Also, goat cheese. So you let your goat cheese come to room temperature. And then you add a little, you could add some of your chivey vinegar that you made, but you're mostly going to add just a handful of chives, some salt, and you're going to like stir all that together and refrigerate it in little ramekins and serve that with a fresh baguette to your friends.
By the way, that one, if you want to add in actual like raw garlic to that, just like super chopped up raw garlic.
Then you have garlic herb chive.
Garlic chive.
Goat cheese.
Stop it.
Okay. Also, tarts and tartlets look real cute with little chives and chive blossoms laid on the top.
Yeah.
Or if you want to make a frittata or a quiche, the pink little chive flower looks excellent.
Yes. No, I love the chive flower is literally one of those, like, it's here, it's gorgeous, you got to adorn whatever you can have with it.
And last but not least, chive butter on, Stephanie, a what?
Piece of bread.
Better.
Chive biscuit?
Better.
That might be too much.
Ribeye.
Oh, yeah, a little maitre d' butter?
Yeah, just...
Put some shallow in there.
Oh, yeah.
Some shallots.
And you get that little oomst, oomst, oomst.
Yeah. Okay.
Chives.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put up some chive recipes for you. All the ones we talked about.
And I would say that most that you do with the chives, you could probably do with the ramps as well. So that's really kind of a good win.
Chive butter? You could make chive salt.
Yes, you probably could make chive salt.
Yeah, I bet you can. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. I'm going to try it this year.
Do it.
Chive salt.
Chive salt.
Chive salt. Chive talking. Okay. Have we had enough of chives yet?
Maybe.
Scrambled eggs and chives sound real good right now. I think I'm going to go home and plop some chive butter on my pan. All right. That's it. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, Stephanie, what do we have when we come back?
We have Chuck Kansky. We're going to talk about
rosé. Chuckles is going to talk rosé when we come back on The Weekly Dish.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. We are so happy to be joined by Mr. Chuck Kansky. Are you here, Chuck? Chuck, are you there?
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are things at Solo Vino?
Oh, my gosh, fantastic. I mean, look at outside the weather. It's just perfect.
It's kind of a perfect day. You guys, Chuck is the owner. He's been on the show before. He's the owner and proprietor of Solo Vino Wine Shop, which is this cutest little place in St. Paul, right over there on Selby. And we are, he is, of course, the guy who has been putting on the biggest, most fantabulous rosé fest, rosé wine tasting test in the Twin Cities. How many years, what are we on now? Like 107 of those? Is it something?
Boy, sometimes it feels like that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I was just talking at the shop with someone. I think the very first one we did at W.A. Frost was in 05.
Mm.
So we had a couple of years with COVID. We weren't able to do anything. And I think we took a couple of breaks here and there. But, you know, Rosé 10 tasting as well as Rosé Fest, I think I'm at about maybe 13 or 14 years.
Versions. Wow. And this is, you know, you were putting up this thing where everyone was in the beginning kind of starting to feel like, wow, pink wine could actually be good. And then you were you were the guy who was like, listen, trust me. And you put a bunch of cases out there and you put it, you know, in your parking lot. And you were like, just come and taste it and see what you love. And it was a revelation.
Yeah, you know, that subcategory, you know, it was something kind of a mystery for some folks because, you know, they look at it and they just instantly think it's going to be sweet.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you really got to kind of talk it through a little bit. And, you know, I came up with the idea of homework. It was an awesome idea, and a guest will come in, and they just don't believe me that they're going to like it. So I slap a homework sticker on it. I put it in your hand, and I say, you go home and try it and prove me wrong.
Yeah.
So, isn't it,
you know,
funny?
A lot of conversions, converting people one at a time.
Isn't it funny? Because when we first got on the air, rosé was first, it felt like having a moment 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now I drink rosé a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think for us too, you know, we always carry a rosé section year round. And, you know, in the very beginning, I think a lot of sections in a lot of wine shops in the Twin Cities, they were still a seasonal category or a seasonal subcategory. And now you walk around and it's going to be just as common to see a rosé on a table in January as orange wine is. I'm really excited about the way rosé has been quietly kind of embraced over the last handful of years.
So now that we are moving into this season, now just to give us a quick primer, rosé tends to be a young wine that debuts in the springtime, which is why we call this rosé season. Is that correct?
Correct. You know, I mean, like right now, I just did an event and I had a friend that came back from Paris. And she said, actually, interesting enough, the hot color, here's a tip for everybody, the hot color in Paris this year is hot pink.
Oh.
So she came back and she showed me some pictures and it's like pink everywhere, you know, pink flags and people wearing pink jumpers and rosé wine on tables. And so, you know, it's definitely something that I think, you know, people look at the weather. And they think about grilling, or they think about just being out on your patio, or just going for a walk and going to the cabin. And I really do believe that rosé wine can fit every person and every occasion.
It's so true. It's so true. Okay, so what we have is we have Rosé Fest is coming up, and it's on June 10th, which happens to be National Rosé Day.
National Rosé Day.
Woo-woo. We got that right this year, Chuck. And then, and then, so it's out at Kellogg Park. Now, the magazine, MSP Mag, we partnered up with these guys last year, and we kind of all came together and really to kind of amp it up a little bit. And we're so excited because this year is going to be even better. But, Chuck, why don't you tell us a little bit about what people can expect at Rosé Fest this year?
Yeah, of course, of course. So we're partnered up with Minneapolis-St. Paul Magazine as well as the St. Paul Downtown Alliance.
Yep.
And we really are excited to be back at Kellogg Mall Park. This will be our third year at Kellogg Mall Park. And if no one's been there, it's just this wonderful, wonderful, beautiful tree area that overlooks the river. This year we're going to have our general admission wines. We've got wines from France, some domestic wines. We've got Bon Jovi's wine, Hampton Water, which I got to say is really awesome.
Oh, yeah.
some wines from Italy, New Zealand. We're going to have some folks from Kettle One Botanical. They want to taste through their beautiful line of botanical vodka. We've got a really nice Earl Giles is going to be with us this year. We've got a wonderful DJ, Shannon Blowtorch. She's going to be here doing some really good electric music for everybody. And Revival's also back doing the food.
Oh, gosh. It's going to be so great. So what we have is at General Admission, you can taste 8 different wines. And I have a blog up on MSP Mag that talks, that kind of runs through it. Chuck and I did a little tasting through those wines. And we kind of highlighted the areas and the makers and really kind of understood why they were special. And then if you do the VIP ticket, you get an extra 10 wines. Is that correct? Is that what we said?
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be another separate area. There'll be some more curated rosés, a handful of sparkling rosés. So if you like bubbles, there'll be some bubbles rosé in that area as well. You get a little, and it's just going to be an awesome, awesome day. We're looking to have weather like today, and who doesn't want to be outside?
I know, really, truly. And there will be a giant pink fountain. It happens. Mm-hmm. It just sort of happens. Okay, I want to know one thing, though. So, like, what I love also is the wines that you've picked for this is they're really global and really understanding that there's not just, rosé is not a California pink that some people may think that. You know, there is a California pink in there, but there's a lot of different wines from all over the country. But, Chuck, is there a trend that you're seeing in rosé, like, overall that you can sort of, identify as what's going on in the industry?
You know, I mean, I think trend may not be the right word, because I think trends start and they begin and they end.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
I would say rosé has finally arrived in this way, because like right now, you know, we've got people around the Twin Cities that are, you know, bringing out all the aged rosés from the basement. Uh-huh. You know, we're selling Chateau Moussard right now, the current vintage of 2018. We have a customer in our neighborhood that has Kempier rosé that goes back to 2010. I really feel like rosé at some point in time kind of deviated from the course of like being considered Beaujolais Nouveau.
Yeah.
You know, like Beaujolais Nouveau was this very time sensitive bottle that if you didn't consume it within 3 or 4 months, it just would go away and not be drinkable. We are just really seeing rosé become a natural purchase within a mixed case. You know, grab some white, some red, some bubbles, a few bottles of rosé. I really actually am quite proud of the way that the rosé scene has developed in the Twin Cities and how it's just become a commonplace purchase now, which really makes me happy.
It really has. And there's one of the things that I also love about the bottles that you've picked are the fact that you really love to highlight smaller producers. Not to say that there aren't big producers who are doing great things, but the smaller producers, we talked about that some of them you picked intentionally because you are a small shop, independent shop, and it's good to highlight those makers.
Well, yeah, of course. You know, I always tell folks when you have the chance, you know, your money and the way you support with your purchases means a lot. And I feel like it means a little bit more to the independent shops. You know, that being said, I own Hanes White T-shirts and I drive a Volkswagen. So it's not that I'm anti, you know, industrial or large commercial products. You know, I mean, that would just be silly to say that, you know, but I think all of us can agree. You know, you get to build that relationship with your local barista, with the local, you know, card shop owner, you know, and you get to know them. And that's the thing that I think is important when you get to support the smaller independent shops. It just means your purchases mean a lot more to us.
Good. I love this. All right. So June 10th. National Rosé Day, Rosé Fest in Kellogg Park in St. Paul. It's going to be a great afternoon. Tickets are still available, you guys, so I'm going to put a link up on the show page. And the best thing is, Chuck, like if you love those wines when you're tasting them at the rosé tasting, you can go ahead and buy them at Solovino. Is that correct? That's how we're going to work it?
Oh, yes. Yep, of course. Of course. We're going to also have some other colleagues in the market, the retail market team, that's going to also probably be supporting the same lineup. So we hope to have a wine shop near you supporting these wines so that you don't have to always come to see me in St. Paul. I love I love it when everybody, you know, gets to build these great relationships with all of my other friends within the retail trade. So we're going to try to get a list of other shops up there as well.
Perfect. All right, Chuck. We'll see you on National Rosé Day.
See you soon, Chuck.
Woohoo! All right. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, ladies.
You too. Yep. Okay. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish. And on this gorgeous Saturday of Saturdays.
Of all the Saturdays.
Of all the Saturdays. Hey, you guys.
If you're Saturdaying.
Here's the deal. We are off next week. So we wanted to make sure that we got the Facebook question in there about what are you bringing to Memorial Day picnic? Because we are not going to be
fishing.
Here
yeah.
to talk about
having
it.
A vacation day.
Yeah. So we're going to have that. And we're hoping that you guys all have, you know, really great potlucks and killer spreads. And definitely send us pictures and tag us if you're making anything with ramps or anything like that.
If you feel like celebrating me on Sunday, May 28th, you certainly can.
Oh, it's your birthday!
You could raise your glass up.
Oh, we're 75. Not going to be here for your birthday.
No,
that's
it's
sad.
Fine. No one's ever anywhere for my birthday because it's always on Memorial Day weekend.
Oh.
Just know that I am somewhere with a rhubarb something and probably a French 75 feeling just fine.
As you should. Okay, I'm going to read off a couple more Memorial Day picnic ideas from the post. We have... Shannon says, Amy Thielen's fried onion dip with potato chips for dipping. Yes.
Oh,
yes. Thank
that's
you.
That's in the Midwest cookbook.
Yes,
I have
she's
that
Midwest.
Cookbook
she says,
and
killer,
it.
And everybody wants a recipe. You cannot make it without making a double batch because you will be sad. Everyone ate it. I love this. This is so true.
Okay.
Orzo and vegetable salad from Anne Elizabeth. That sounds right.
I like that too. Orzo is very versatile.
Yes. Bill is saying he's making radish green pesto in the spring before the basil is ready to use on an antipasto.
So he's using radish green.
Okay.
I love it.
I love that.
I saw someone pull a radish out of the ground. My friend, Farm, what is her handle on Instagram?
I don't know.
Farm, Scratch Farm Cook, something. Anyway, she has radishes.
Katie's also making Italian pasta salad with a toffee apple dip. We haven't had any, not a lot of, oh, Renee, taco bar, always a hit.
Always.
Always a hit. I love this. This is good stuff. I am going to make the blue cheese bacon potato salad hit with ramps and chive salt now, I think, or yep. chive salt or ramp salt and chive.
I'm feeling chive salt in my future because you got me thinking about
I know.
It.
I really
and I have
like
a handful of chives that I'm bringing up to the lake.
I'm not bringing pickle dip anywhere. I'm not going to do it. I'm taking a break.
It feels a little...
Taking a break.
That feels like fine. That feels like a wintery
break.
Thing.
It's really not. It's sort of like
I know,
all
but
the
it
things,
just,
but I just need a break.
Yeah, take a break.
Yeah, I'm taking a break. Maybe I'll make a... I do love like a blue cheese dip, though.
This is where it all starts, friends.
Like, you know, my big thing with the kettle chips and the hot, like you put a little, you get the hot sauce and you go drizzle it over that potato chips with blue cheese and then creme fraiche all over it. You know, that rave that you hit with chives. And that's an amazing
yum.
Thing.
Yum.
That's just hard to sit out, though. That has to be like a cocktail snack. That's a patio thing. That's not like sitting on a table because those chips will get soggy.
Here's an idea.
Okay.
I went to a ladies' dinner, a pickleball dinner last weekend, and our friend brought chicken marbella, and she did it with just chicken legs.
Okay.
So very inexpensive for a large crowd.
Yeah.
It is a marinade of, you know, it's in the Silver Palette Cookbook. It's prunes. It's... oregano, lemon juice, blah, blah, blah. And then she served it at like room temperature.
Hmm.
And so it's picnic fare kind of. And if you're like, I'm going to have maybe on my birthday, I might have 18 people
because
it keeps getting more people
up at the cabin.
Yeah. So I'm like chicken legs. That's a big like pot of chicken legs is a good way to go for that.
That's a good one.
Because my husband needs protein as a meal. But, you know, like who can afford to even a huge pork shoulder? For 18 might get dicey.
Well, you can get that one at Costco. That's...
I don't go to Costco.
I know, but you can. And it's good stuff.
I'm afraid of Costco. I don't
do
like the parking lot. I just, I someday on a like Monday morning when no one's shopping, I'd like you to take me there.
Okay.
Just like,
how about this? We're
going to
go,
Costco.
We're going to go do our workout class and then we'll go to Costco right after.
GTX. Yes.
No, see? Don't tell everybody. We don't need to have everybody
come. It's not like they're
going to
join us.
They might. They might. Don't tell everybody. There are limited spots.
Yes.
You have to be careful for that.
I know.
Okay, so what else is going on? So are you're unable to art a whirl.
I'm not art a whirling today, but
go...
I want you all to art a whirl. It's always so fun.
Can we talk about the fact that one of the hottest things at art a whirl this year is Crusher Whirl at Turbo Tim's, which is a auto mechanic shop that has kitties and like kittens and all sorts of crazy things.
And they're crushing auto parts.
They're crushing cars. They're like driving a giant truck over cars, like a demo derby. I love like sort of a, I love this. Like,
is Turbo Tim's an auto mechanic place that will repair your car?
Yes.
How smart of them.
How smart of them.
I might want them to fix my car next time it breaks.
I mean, and it's like they've got murals. They've got, they love art. They're super cool there. They're doing like magicians and all sorts of fun stuff.
Way to go, Turbo
Tim. An angry line cook burger truck is going to be there.
I like his burger truck a
lot. He has such good burgers at that truck.
And also Hackamore, this is not Art of World because they're not located, but Hackamore Brewing has the Salsa Kids, the Salsa Collective, and they've got a burger that's real good.
Did you try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've had their burger.
I haven't gone out to Hackamore because it's in Chanhassen. It's in Chanhappening.
It's Chanhappening.
But it's
on your way from the Arboretum, you stop by Chanhappening.
Yes. And it's like literally on the corner of like the Youngsteads where my Jeep lived forever when it was getting fixed.
Yep.
But I like those guys. So
Chanhappening.
But there's a couple other things happening in town today that I wanted to make sure that you guys know about, because it's not just Art of World. If you're not feeling like you don't want to brave, you know, the stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have to brave all the stuff. But there are, it's also, I don't know how to say it. Oh, that was yesterday. Never mind.
Go to the farmer's market today.
Well, for sure. But there's Asian street food night market this weekend at the Aldrich Arena in Maplewood.
Yum.
And it's a family-friendly event. They've got talent show, live music, tons of food vendors.
Yum.
And like so much yum.
Dumplings.
It's a little bit of yum for you. Here's another fun one I think is kind of lovely. If you're looking for something kind of to do on Sunday that's like a little heart, you know, you want to have like that, it's a perfect summer day for a drive. Nelson's in Stillwater is turning 100.
Yeah,
Nelson's ice cream shop is turning 100. They're having a little parking lot party, and I think it's just kind of a lovely.
They have giant ice cream cones
there. Oh, God, it's so good,
too. You wait in line, but you get like a solid, full-on cone.
You are not getting chintzed on this one. No. You are 100% going to be happy about that.
I actually drove through a Culver's last weekend and got an ice cream cone.
You did, huh?
And I felt real good about it.
I'm not mad at Culver's.
Andy's Mint. Oh. I had a mint Culver's, and I was like, oh, this is so great.
I have not yet had, like, a Dairy Queen of the season.
Yeah, not, I haven't gotten there. Dairy Queen yet, but it's coming. I can feel
you
it.
You can feel it.
I thought about a Cherry Dilly bar, and then the Culver's was quicker.
Yeah.
I also had a Gordy's Burger last weekend.
You did? Well, because you're up there, of course you are.
So Gordy's and Cloquet is open.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling outdoor cheeseburger
opening
in some way, shape, or form. I got to get my doors off my Jeep so I can drive around a little
bit. Okay, this is kind of random, but have you seen the TikTok? Because I feel like I'm going to do this on TV. That is the smashed burger patty with the tortilla on top of it, and you smush it down, and then you flip it over. And so that tortilla is now on the griddle, and it's griddling, 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 and then you fold it and make a taco.
A burger taco kind of thing?
Yes.
Oh.
Looks
I've not
real
seen that.
Good.
Do you put stuff in it? Is there cheese and stuff?
Yeah, then you do the stuff, but you first got to smash your burger.
Yeah.
You use the tortilla almost like they use parchment paper to kind of create that steam.
Yeah.
That's one of the tricks of making a smash burger.
Yeah.
You watch Animales. He taught me how to do it. You get this parchment paper and you press it down with the parchment paper and you leave that paper on there for a sec because it creates a barrier for the steam. So this tortilla does the same thing.
Huh.
Then you flip it over and it crisps up and then you fold it up.
Then you put the cheese, you put the onions and all that stuff on top.
Huh. Uh-huh.
That's interesting. I might look that up.
Yeah, I might do it.
Okay, I would love to see you do it. Here we go, kids. Go have a weekend.
Yes, have a weekend. Have fun.
Happy birthday. Happy Memorial Day.
Yes.
Live large. We'll see you in June.
You can always text us and
tell
us
text
what
me.
You're eating.
Don't text me.
You can tweet. Tweet is texting.
Tweet and texting. Ciao, ciao.
Thank you.